Okay, I think we're all back in here, and so we're going to get started. So, thanks for making the transition. And Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for this time of ministry and impartation and teaching. And Lord, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're present here. And Lord, that you're ready to minister to each one of us. Lord, I pray for encouragement today and strength today for all of my fellow ministers, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for partners in the gospel of the kingdom. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would just like to share a little bit about what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying or what I see him doing. And what year did we do the prophetic roundtable at your church? Was that 2017, that's what I thought. 2017, because I remember at the round table when I shared, was at the beginning of the year, the Lord asked us to lay down everything we were doing. He said, Janet, you just need to lay it down, because I was, crying over Love in Action and that we couldn't do that. And I was so grieved about that. Many things, several of our teachers had moved away that helped in school and ministry, and there was just lots of things that were transition going on. And so, you know, in your heart you want to keep everything going. Is that true? Mm-hmm. And so the Lord said, lay it down, lay everything down, and I'll resurrect it. That's what he said. I'll resurrect it. I'm going to do a new thing and I'll resurrect it. So that's what we did 2017. You know, we kept our life groups going and biblical foundations and the discipling and, of course, the inner healing. All of that kept going. But the major things, school of ministry and our outreaches, and we just kept praying, Lord, what is it you want us to do now? You know, what is our place in this community? Because we came in as Love in Action, reaching out to the kids, and I love kids. And it seemed like the enemy just kept coming in and stealing that harvest over and over again. And so it was like, Lord, we need help here, you know. And so it was a time of intercession and grieving and that dying and letting go of the old. And what the Lord told me, he said, there are some necessary endings. Mm-hmm. And so if there's a necessary ending, something has to come to the end of itself so he can begin something new. And so I believe God was just really working deep in my heart to be able to let go and receive what he wanted to do in this season, because I knew it would be different, because we're called to establish the kingdom of God. We're called to partner with our community and work with our community. So anyway, in the midst of all of that prayer and intercession and crying out to God, you know, and you can't see your way sometimes. And it's like, Lord, just give us clarity here. And you make the connections that we need to have. And so we began to partner with a group of ministers that pick up inner city kids. And they asked if they could use our building because they had been kicked out of several churches. And someone had told them, you need to go see Janet and Leonard Cook. They did children's outreach for years. They know what this is all about. Go and see them. So Brenda came to me and asked if they could use our building. And I was so excited. I said, yes, we understand inner city kids. Yeah, they make messes and they break things, you know, but God loves them. And so they begin to come every Tuesday night. And they're starting their fourth year here on Tuesday nights. Wow. And they're changing their name to Elkhart's Kids Church and wanting to bring in that ministry underneath the River of Life. And so God resurrected Love in Action in a very different way with a group of ministers from several different churches working together to mentor and train and pick up these kids. They feed them supper. They have worship. It's amazing. And so I'm so blessed by that. And then about over a year ago, a man named Francis Tesori approached me, and he had been a clinical social worker for Oaklawn, and I had worked with them for several years. We host the Oaklawn Christmas party here, and there's usually about 450 of their clients that come because we're kind of like right smack in the middle of where many of their clients live. And so we've built relationship with Oaklawn Mental Hospital, and I have a passion for people with mental health illness. They are the lepers of our culture. People don't know what to do with them. They push them to the side. They ignore them. And they're very valuable people. And several of them are just so intelligent. And they love God so much. And if they could change, they'd change in a minute. But they're just not able to. And they really need help along the way. But anyway, Francis came to me and asked if we would consider renting some rooms to them so that they could begin a clubhouse. And the International Clubhouse is a place where people with mental health illnesses can go to learn life skills, to acclimate back into culture. Many of them are very educated people, had great jobs, but they had a mental breakdown, and they just need a place to go. And so he came and asked, and we said, sure. And so we developed a memorandum of understanding, and we went over it every 3 months just to see how this was going to work out. Well, they celebrated a year, and they were accredited by the International Clubhouse, which is unheard of in a year, and they were so blessed. Francis says, I know it's because we're here that we have the blessing of God. It's like a place to be nourished and to grow, and that's what we wanted to do. And so they've asked if they could sign a lease for another year here in the building as they're growing and getting ready to walk. Someday they'll move out, but for now they're in the safety of the house of God. And so that's reaching out, establishing the kingdom in a way that is different than what you normally think. And so then the Excel Center approached me in June. They called and wanted to know if we would consider leasing rooms to them so that they could have a program here in Elkhart to help people get their high school diploma, adults to get their high school diploma. It's all free. They have child care, and they have three places in northern Indiana, and this is their fourth one here in Elkhart. But the leader of that came to me and said, you know, I've been praying about where do we plant this, and the Lord said, go to River of Life, call Dr. Janet. Wow. And so they're now in our building, and they're leasing from us, and so they're helping adults get their high school education, their diploma, because education affects generations. And so it's very exciting to be a part of that. And I told the church, I said, we are doing kingdom work. It's not churchy. It's not what you're used to, but it's what God has called us to do, and this is what we're doing in this season. So I'm excited to be working in the kingdom of God. It looks so different than what I thought it would look. It's not what I expected, but hallelujah, I embrace all that God has for us, and I'm just thankful for what he's doing in our lives. And it wouldn't have happened if we wouldn't have laid it all down so he could resurrect it. He brought it to pass. He brought it to pass. And so I'm so thankful, and I have one more thing to share about the multiplication, if I can just share that. When we planted our church downtown, we didn't have chairs. And so we were using folding chairs, and I think Phil Williams let us use chairs, and we didn't have chairs. So when it came time to buy chairs, a businessman gave us $1,000 towards chairs. And then money started coming in, we ordered chairs for the theater. And so in the theater, there was this slope that we needed theater chairs for. They had to be bolted to the ground. You couldn't just put any old chair on them. And so it was like that for about 7-8 months. And a theater in Napanee called us and said, hey, we're getting new theater chairs. Are you interested in some theater chairs? So Leonard and the guys went over there, and they were the right slope that we needed. They were made for the area that we needed them in because it was a pretty steep slope. And they were they were in horrible shape. You know, you can imagine the theater, they were filthy and they were orange. But anyway, we took them. Hallelujah. They were free, great price. So when we got them back to the church over a period of time, one of the men that worked in painting took the frames and sandblasted all of them and painted them blue. And then our daughter Teresa worked at a van conversion place, and her boss said, she was telling her boss, we need a material to cover these chairs. And he said, well, take the samples to the church, let them pick out what they want, and I'll sell it to you at a discount, and I'll give it to you at our price. And so she brought it, we picked them out, she took it back, and he said, you know what, I think I'm just going to give you the fabric. So they gave us the fabric. Okay, so now we have fabric, we have blue frames on the chairs, and we're like, okay, God, we need to cut a pattern. So we took them all apart, got the pattern ready, we're going to cut. And another member in our church said she had told her boss that we had this fabric that needed to be cut, and they had big cutting machines, you know. And he said, well, you girls are slow. Just get that fabric, bring it over, and we'll cut it for them. And so praise God. So then it went from we'll cut it to them to we'll just sew it for them. And so they sewed them. And so now we have the frames, the fabric, they're all cut and sewn, but they need to be put together, right, for upholstery. And so this truck driver came through Elkhart, and he stopped at our church. And he was a big, burly guy and was really struggling with unforgiveness. He had fought in the war, you know, and he just felt horrible about the things that he had done. And so we were working with him in ministry, and he heard that we needed the chairs upholstered. And he said, you know what? My job used to be an upholsterer. I'm only in town for 3 months, but I will put the chairs all together for you. And so this man put our chairs all together. And so God provided all of that free. I mean, and I was sharing with Apostle Leon, when you step out, when God says, it's time, it's time. And God begins to bring in the provision. And so then he says he's going to sew 5 chairs. I'm expecting people to sew chairs so we can get the rest of these pews out of here. Hallelujah. So that our auditorium is filled with the chairs. So one more thing. The Lexington House, they needed chairs. And because we had asked them, I had been praying, and the Lord says, it's time for them to buy their own tables and chairs, because they've been using all of our items for over a year. And he says, it's time for them to grow and to begin to purchase their own, because you know how it is in ministry, you have to begin to grow up, right? And so when I talked to them about that, he looked a little hesitant, and I said, it's just time. And so then after about 2 weeks, he came and he thanked me. He said, thank you for pushing us to grow up. I know we need to. And it's a step, you know, of faith to do this. So then they begin to look for chairs. Well, they ended up getting going out to Habitat, and a school in Goshen had donated chairs to Habitat, and Habitat sold them for $4 a piece to Lexington House. And they're the exact, there's 3 colors, the exact colors in their logo.
Praise the Lord.
And he told me, he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, it's because we're here, isn't it? I said, oh yeah, we have an anointing for chairs. And I said, when you step out, it's the whole thing is, we're afraid to step out because we don't have all the pieces, but when you step out in faith and you know it's time, God supplies the need. So praise God. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. Yes, he is. I did share that. Yeah, I did. Is there anything else you want to share, hon?
I want to share something about the little houses.
Oh, yeah, the little houses.
That's exciting, what you're doing there.
Well, growing up, we had to build a lot of houses at church, and I helped people build. So right now we're going to be building 24 houses plus a great big giant laundry room. We've already got 12 completely done and everything. And just with that, just say like a mother and a child come, they could go there immediately and stay and everything. So I was just really excited.
Yeah. But, bigger than houses.
Well, the houses are basically, they're like 16 by 20. Then the other one's going to be almost 30 feet long. So they're pretty big. And for the homeless, yeah. And Faith Mission is 100% Christian, and they don't receive one penny from the government. So the government can't tell them, you can't talk about LGBT or abortion. So they, you know, they do it all. Also, 4 or 5 years ago, we also rented our building out to, it's called Christian Academy. And you know what? We told them to save their money for 2 years, and guess what? They have a $13 million facility now with over 1,000 kids. And usually Elkhart Christian businessmen, you know, bring their kids and pay the extra fee. So it's like, we blessed them.
And I remember the word constantly that Apostle shared with us. God gave us this facility to be a blessing, not a burden. And so we have operated in that principle. We want it to be a blessing, and we're seeing God just bless us tremendously in this huge facility.
Wow. It's absolutely beautiful. Amen. So pardon? Oh, yeah. I didn't even realize she was. I was wondering where she was at. I can't see that far. Okay. Good. Worship is awesome. Awesome.
Amen. Well, if you're all comfortable, please stand and let's worship the Lord. Or if you feel more comfortable being seated, just take the posture of worship that is most comfortable for you. And we're going to go before the Lord in worship.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't
contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. 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 We want more of you, God. Oh, we want more.
Abba.
Father, we just thank you for your presence here today. Lord, it's a time of healing. It's a time of building up. It's a time of increase. It's a time of sending. It's a time of fulfilling. It's a time of rewarding. And it's a time, Father, when your presence comes, Lord. Father, you are a consuming fire. And Lord, we just ask you, Father, today, Lord, for each one that is here, each minister, God, and even ones that could not be here, Father. Lord, just like the ones that stood by the goods when David went into battle, and he had the word of the Lord, those that go into battle and those that stand by the goods get the same blessing, Father. I just pray that blessing over this Heartland cell here in Elkhart, oh God, reaching out, oh Lord, to the diversity of areas, oh God. Father, just, Lord, let your fire, oh God, be birthed fresh in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody give the Lord a hand clap. God's good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I get to share with you guys for a little bit this morning. And, Eva, what time is it? It's 1:59, and Brother Ben is going to have to leave in just a few minutes. So let's pray for Benjamin. All right, you want to stand with me, Benjamin? And you have a recorder, son? Praise the Lord. I figured you might. Praise the Lord. Amen. So just kind of stretch your hand back over to him, will you? And just, amen. Just appreciate you even being here, Benjamin. Thank you for coming and fellowshipping with us and breaking bread with us. Amen. Father, we just charge this man of God by the power of your grace and your love. And Benjamin, I've been meditating upon you, and I hear the Lord say that, son, you are mine, and a lot of things will try to own you. A lot of things will try to envision you. A lot of things will try to possess you. But the Lord says, you are mine, says the Lord. And I hear God say that you're on my time frame. You're where you're at. You do what you do because I've allowed you to. And the Lord says, but I've put a sensitivity in you. And the Lord says, when I sound the alarm, the Lord said, you'll be a man on the move, says the Lord. And God said, I put a mover, a shaker, a anointing upon your life. And the Lord says, even the place that you're in, God said, it's another proving ground, says the Lord. But God said, son, I have even more for you than what your eyes have seen or what your spirit has even ascertained, says the Lord. And God says, son, I'm activating my prophetic mantle upon your life, says the Lord. And God said, you can't hide it. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you ways and methods and means of reaching into the hearts of people with the word of the Lord. And God says, this is a time of refreshing that I will pour out upon you, and I'll pour out upon your wife. I'll pour out upon your children, says the Lord. And God says, I am building you and I'm preparing you, God said, for a greater fulfillment of my purpose on earth, says the Lord. And God says, son, you'll be, the Lord said, one that will go to many places and many geographical areas and many cities, says the Lord. And God said, your impact will be beyond measure. And God says, I'm causing a fresh fire of my spirit, the Lord said, to begin to burn on the inside of you, says the Lord. And it's going to bring a new freedom, a new release. It's going to present you with a new increase, says the Lord. And I hear God say, this will be a time, son, of dreams and visions. And God said, I'm going to begin to open the heavens to you, and I'm going to cause you to see what you couldn't see before, says the Lord. And God said, you're going to settle in your heart, and you're going to know in your spirit the times and seasons of the Holy Spirit. So God says, settle in, settle down, but but be alert and on guard and be instant in season and out of season and ready for every good work that I have called you to, says the Lord. I just feel like God is releasing something in Jessica right now. It's like there's a settling, there's a peace, there's a, you know, it's like things are just coming together for her, and there's a fire of God on the inside of her. And God said, I'm going to begin to turn her up in this season, says the Lord. And God said, the fire of the anointing will not be suppressed, depressed, or pushed back. But God said, I'm going to bring the fire of the Spirit, God said, to the forefront, even in her life, says the Lord. And so God says, son, know that I've called you, and my calling is without repentance, says the Lord. And just there's going to be that continual beckoning. About the time you feel like, well, this is that, God says, I'll cause the wind to blow again. It's kind of like the tabernacle, you know, when the cloud of the Spirit moved. They had to be instant and ready to move with the cloud. And God said, I want you to be ready to move with the cloud, says the Lord. Father, I just charge and bless this man of God. And Lord, just release your anointing to a freshness and to a new level within him. God, give him the impact, give him the influence, give him, Father, all the things, Lord, that he needs to carry him through this season, Father, God, to fulfill your full will and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? Amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to be praying for most of you throughout the next, let's say, however many minutes it is here. And I'll just say however many minutes it is. So, yeah. So I was in one of our churches in Texas just recently, Jean Louis and his wife Elia. It's a Hispanic-speaking church. And, you know, just thinking about the miracles that you're talking about, how God does things. He just doesn't do it the way that we think he is going to do it. And But the Lord moved on Jean Louis about 4 years ago with his wife, who had a sister in Plano, Texas. And she was crying out to them to pray with some people on the telephone. Well, they called these people, and they began to pray with them. And then the next week, they had some more people wanted to pray on the telephone. And it just kept growing until it grew to about 40 people online on the telephone that they were praying for. And then it became weekly. And then they wanted to come out at least once a month and maybe do a Bible teaching for them. And these were just people just coming together, unchurched people. And it kind of began a revival among these people on the telephone, and then going out once a week and visiting them. And then after 2 years, it continued to grow. And then he heard the Lord say, I want you to get up like Abraham, and I want you to move to Plano. Well, he's a businessman at the top, working with Delta and the airlines and all of the future technology, planning years ahead of where we're at right now. That was his field of business anyway. So he approached his job, and his job said, you know what, we have a perfect opening for you in Dallas, you know. And so he took that as a word of the Lord to get up and to move. And so they put their house on the market, and the next day the house sold. It just, I mean, it was just like you're talking about when you get up and you go, and how God begins to release miracles, signs, and wonders as you go. And we see that pattern with David at Ziklag. It wasn't until he got up and he went, amen, that the directions came clear of where he was going and how he was going to pursue and repossess, amen? And so I just believe that God's challenging us in a new season. We can work by the old pattern, all right? Or we can just, you know, it's not that you throw out the baby with the dishwater. You know, we don't do that. We keep doing what we're doing. Is it the baby or the dishes? The baby?
Don't throw out the water.
With the baby?
With the bathwater. Don't throw out the baby.
No, don't throw. What did I say? Throw out the dishes with the dishwater. Okay, well, it both works. All right. Anyway. Y'all got the picture anyway. I've been talking a lot over the last year. Anyway, but we don't throw out everything that we're doing just to do another thing. You know, we learn how to phase out, phase in. And that's what I see Dr. Janet and Leonard doing. And I just had that vision of the, you know, of your vision for love in action, you know, and I could just see, could all of you feel that sensitivity in her heart? You know, I mean, it was a real, that is a real passion with you. But what I'm seeing now is like the baby that you birthed is now grown up, and it just looks different. Amen. But it's the same fulfillment, you know, of love in action. And so it is just awesome. Well, they moved to the Dallas area, to Plano, and lived there for about 3 years. And the church began to grow. And then the community where they was leasing facilities said, we can't have church here no more, and was closing that out. And it was just like 2 months later, he walks into his job, and they said, we're having a major layoff of 400 people. And everybody was laid off, and they shut down that research area and all of that. And he called me in devastation. You know, everything fitted together, everything relocated, and now what are we going to do? Well, the word of the Lord to him was, is that I am going to shift you. You know, the time will come when I will shift you from being dependent financially on your business. And God said, I'm going to write your paycheck. And so now here he is with no paycheck. And so for just a moment, you know, it's kind of like when the Bible says that God said, for just a moment, I turned my face from you, but then I turned back to you and I released all my blessings upon you, you know. And so he called me just full grown, you know, he's a full grown man, just began to bawl over the phone, you know, just crying, you know, of death, you know, what am I going to do, you know. And so I just prayed with him, and I heard the word of the Lord to him, and God said, just stay in faith, keep the faith, and like Paul, just keep the faith, and just keep with your plan, keep moving forward, and let's just see what God will do. And I told him, I said, I believe the people are going to step up to the plate. Well, the people did step up to the plate, and it wasn't but, it wasn't even a month. It was a few weeks later. He gave me a call. And he said that he got a phone call from a real estate agent that had a church for sale. And so they went and looked at the church, you know, with no job. And, you know, just everything looking on the downside. Went and looked at the church, and they had to make an offer on the church. And the bank said, we're going to take your offer on the building. And so they bought a church. He said, no, I don't have a job. We just bought a church, you know, and a church in the making. And you know what? God raised people up, and they bought that building. And the church has grown now to about 160 people. And the church is taking care of them financially. And the church is growing, you know. But in the process of dilemma, all of that situation, you know, God opened up the, amidst a pandemic, you know, the whole thing, God opened up the door. You know, all these things does not limit God. God is still God. And, you know, he's going to work miracles, and he's going to do things, amen, regardless of how the natural things work. So we find ourselves in life frequently having to hit our reset, amen. Things try to jam. Things try to slow you down. Things try to bring you to a stop. Just hit your reset. Get up and keep going again, amen, because God's called us for such a time as this, amen. So praise God, amen. Testimony. I believe we need to hear testimonies. We need to hear testimonies of breakthrough, testimonies of, you know, the things that, you know, that God is doing and breaking through for us, amen, so we can keep moving forward in faith. So I'm going to challenge you with a word here. I'm not going to preach a message to you. I'm just going to give you some prophetic thoughts, amen, but I want to build off of a word, hot pursuit, all right? There's something about when you're in hot pursuit for something, nothing's going to get in your way. When you're in hot pursuit and you are determined, it doesn't matter how big the obstacle, doesn't matter if it's physical, financial, relational, what it is. If you're in hot pursuit, you are going to press through and you become unstoppable. Say unstoppable. Amen. So no devil in hell, no principality, power, nothing that is formed against me is going to be able to stop me, amen, for the vision, the determination, you know, that God has put in my spirit. You know, you can choose to get discouraged with it, upset with it, you know, or just become on the sideline with it, or you can determine God is God. I'm going to pursue by faith. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, you know. And it's just like God has us in that place in this season of stretching us out of our comfort zones, stretching us out of our old mold, stretching us out of our old methods. Amen. He says, behold, I'll do a new thing, and now it will spring forth. Amen. And I believe that we're coming into a reality of what God is saying in that. Amen. And listen, when the saints of God are on fire, say fire, amen, it's contagious. How many of you know we need some fire? Come on, we need some fire, amen. And when you're in hot pursuit, amen, you are a fire igniter. Come on, you begin to light fires, you get people excited. People not only hear about Jesus, but they see Jesus. You know, somehow God makes himself visible on the outside. Amen. And so you become contagious, and it becomes an appeal to anybody and everybody, you know, that is around you in the atmosphere where you're at. You know, so if we look at the fire on the day of Pentecost, the Father's been taking me back to that just a little bit and beginning to look at the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. I look at the Reformation. Bishop Hammond is writing on the third and final apostolic Reformation and referencing the former Reformation moves of God, which I won't get into all that. But we're in a third Reformation. Amen. And when I look at the Holy Spirit, amen, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, amen, there was a release of the Holy Spirit with tongues and with fire. Amen. So I'm just saying, you know, I believe in this third Reformation that it's a time for fresh fire. Amen. To begin to ignite it to another level. Amen. Bringing the church to a place, amen, where we're ready. Amen. For the harvest. Amen. So everybody say ready. You know, and I believe that we're coming into that season of suddenlies where suddenly, amen, the Holy Spirit came. As I teach on reset, I use the upper room and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as one of my analogies of reset. You know, they were called, to go to the upper room and just stay there, you know, and they had many questions, you know. What are we going to see there? You'll know when it comes. What's it going to feel like? You'll know when you feel it. Well, how are we going to know for sure? Well, you'll know when it's there. You just, you know, there wasn't any real identification other than go and wait and see. And I like to say, how many of you would like to be told to go someplace to wait for something? You don't know how long it's going to take, what it's going to look like, feel like. You don't have no identifiers. You don't have any information other than just go and wait until. You know, that would sound absolutely crazy to us today, you know. But, you know, we all know that they went and they waited. But my point is how many of you think they might have had to hit reset after several days waiting? Come on. You know, why am I here? Am I on target? Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? You know, sometimes in our process of fulfilling the will of God, the call of God, and His purpose, we have to hit our reset and reset our faith right in the midst of what you're doing. I tried to share last night, get familiar with your reset button. My reset is a shout. My reset is beginning to decree the word of the Lord. My reset is building myself up in the most holy faith, amen, and repositioning my mindset. You know, that's how I hit my reset, amen, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, amen, and I'll not be limited by the surrounding things that are around me. That doesn't mean I break the laws of the land or anything like that. that. It just means that greater is Christ that is in me than everything that I have to contend with. Amen. But God is faithful, and God will break you through all of it. Amen. And so learning to get familiar with our reset. Amen. And so on the day of Pentecost, amen, they had to hit reset several times. Amen. And then suddenly, like a mighty rushing wind, amen, the Holy Spirit falls in that place. I don't think we could preach that hard enough or give all the interpretations enough to bring the full impact of all that happened on that day. Amen. But the Bible says they begin to speak with cloven tongues. They begin to speak in other languages and other tongues. And fire, the fire of God, rested upon them. I want to just challenge you as ministers today and here at the river. Amen. Let's begin to believe God for fire. I believe God wants to bring fire in our worship. Amen. Fire in our ministry. Amen. Fire upon all of the endeavors and all of our outreaches and everything that we're doing. Amen. There's a fire of God. And the fire is what makes the impact and brings that evidence, amen, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just reflecting this morning on in the 1900s in the Pentecostal movement in Azusa Street, and just kind of revisiting that for just a moment when you speak about the Holy Spirit and fire, you know, how they had prayed and how they sought God and how they were fasting and how they were waiting, amen, for a presence of God that was going to be a manifest presence, and the fire of God fell on Azusa Street. It's just absolutely phenomenal when you look back at it. It's one thing to hear a story, amen. It's another thing to live a story, amen. Well, they were living the story of Acts chapter 2. Amen. From what I can understand, the fire was so intense and so hot on Azusa Street that they even called firemen and fire trucks and began to sound fire alarms because the fire burning so hot and nothing being consumed. Wow. I was prophesying in this house, I believe, amen, that the glory of the Lord will be so powerful on the inside, it will be like a radiant light that will shine bright out on the outside of the building, amen, just like the fire of God was covering over, you know, the tabernacle of Moses, amen. I believe that God can release tunnels of fire, amen, that will be an evidence. See, in Joel chapter 2, the Bible says that God, say God, God will show signs and wonders in the heavens and in the earth. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know, I think about that, you know, about, you know, what is our level impact and then what is God's level impact? So you can almost compare that to Joshua chapter 3, amen, when Joshua and his armies they're really succeeding. They're slaying people, they're winning this battle, they're taking people out. But see, something about that act of warfare and that act of worship that Joshua and his armies were doing, it excited God. And God begins to release a demonstration from heaven that superseded all that Joshua was doing. Come on, how many of you remember that account with Gibeah? Amen. And at Machanah, the battle there, amen. Just simply to say that when we engage in warfare, we engage in worship, we engage in the things that we were sharing around the table today, amen. As we engage in these things, God gets excited. God really gets excited, Valerie, when you begin to step out by faith and you make a bold declaration. Because that's what he told Joshua. He said, Joshua, I haven't seen such faith. You know, you are so bold telling the Son that I created and set in place to be still. Come on. And God just got excited about that bold faith. And he said, Son, be obedient to the word of Joshua. Come on. Look at somebody and say, you are no different. Come on, sometimes we have these things scriptural, amen, and not realizing that God is no respecter of person, as he released fire on the day of Pentecost, as he released fire at Azusa Street, he'll release fire today. See, I love the vision of our bishop, because our bishop knows that the prophetic movement is established. He knows that that is set. As a matter of fact, 10 years ago, he began to declare, amen, the prophetic movement is here. It's established. It's on fire. It's not going to leave. It's inevitable. It'll continue to manifest. And now we must go on. That doesn't dwindle when you move forward. What you have does not go out when you move forward. Come on. It only empowers that which you're stepping into. Are you with me? Amen. And so Bishop Hammond has shifted, you know, he began to shift us from Ephesians 4:11 to Ephesians 4:12. Come on, we don't have to focus on the restoration of Ephesians 4:11 because it's already set. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It is there. It is active. It is working. And it's going to keep working. It is inevitable. It's there. You know what I mean? For eternity. Amen. God's offices and ministry will be forever. But he said, now we're shifting to Ephesians 4 and 12. For the equipping of the saints. That's why we need you teaching. That's why we need you preaching. That's why. But we need you to ignite the fire of the Holy Spirit with your teaching. Come on, we can't just have knowledge. We've got to have fire. Now, we can't just speak in tongues, because you can just speak in tongues and it become redundant to you. Come on now. But when you begin to speak in tongues and you're believing God for the fire and you're activating the fire in your spirit, all of a sudden your prayer language begins to shift and change and you get more adamant in your praying. I've shared an experience I had many years ago when, you know, God was trying to teach me something about establishing your authority. Whoa, shakabosai. This may be something that we all just need to consider and think about a little bit. And I was going over to the church to pray, and I was going to turn on the lights in our building, and the Holy Spirit said, no. Dr. Jenna, do you come in this building in the dark?
Yeah, we're in the dark.
In the sanctuary? You go at night? You don't do it at night? Oh, do you? Well, my point is that I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Only on this particular time, the Holy Spirit said, no light. He said, I'm the light. I'll be candid with you. It scared me because, you know, I don't really like the dark. You know, I hear stuff in the dark. If something's going to break, it's going to break when I'm there in the dark. Yeah. But he said, no light. And I knew what he was saying to me, but he was saying, I want you to go down in the front of the sanctuary, and I want you to pray in the dark. Let me tell you what happened. I got to the front of our sanctuary. You've probably heard me share this before. I got down to the front of our sanctuary, and my first experience was the hair began to stand up on my neck and on my arms. Y'all ever shuffled your feet on carpet and you get that little... All of us do that, don't we? And that's what it felt like. It was very, very electric on the hair on my arms. I don't have as much hair now as I did then. But I just noticed that. I'm noticing all of these things. But I could feel that. I could feel that, and it, you know, it kind of caused a fear on the inside of me, and it caused me to begin to look where was the closest exit. Okay, and so I was looking for the quickest way away from the sanctuary, and the quickest way was to my left. And I'm telling you the truth now. He said, I just want you to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I began to pray in the Holy Spirit, but while I was praying, I was walking towards the doors. Because it seemed like the more that I prayed, the more intense that, you know, that feeling got. And it was like the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of me and drug me back over to the middle of the sanctuary. And I began to war in the Spirit. Now, here's my point. You can pray in tongues, but when you get in hot pursuit and the fire of God begins to mix with your prayer language begins to change. And my prayer language began to change. Listen, after about 10 minutes of praying in the Spirit, I had my coat off, beating it on the floor, and I was in intense intercession praying in the Spirit, and I know that the fire of God was present. Come on. And it was at that moment that I noticed all, you know, all of that, those things that I was feeling, it was gone. Now, if you want to know the first thing that I done on Monday morning. Now, the Holy Spirit, at that one point, that experience went on. He said, I want you to go through this building. I want you to anoint every chair, every door. You know, in those years, it was typewriters. I want you to anoint all the equipment. I want you to anoint everything in this building. Go through the attic, and I want you to do it in the dark. I walked through that building, feeling my way through in the dark. Amen. And just anointing with oil through that place. And there was two other places where I felt a chill. And at that place, I stopped and I began to war. And all of a sudden, that chill left that particular area. All right. Monday morning, I called Bishop. And I asked him, I said, what's happening? He said, I'm not sure. Let's pray. And so we prayed together. And what he said was that, though the Lord's saying that whenever you go to a new territory, you have to establish your spiritual authority. Come on. And so I established my authority there at CI Central on that 53 acres of land. And now when I go there to pray, guess what? I go pray in the dark. Why? Because he's the light. And the light reveals the darkness. And the darkness cannot stand against the light. Come on now. It's another level, you might say, of spiritual warfare as of us as leaders. And then I begin to pray that way in my house. And I begin to set my authority in the spiritual atmosphere of our home. And just take an authority over principalities and powers of darkness and evil. Amen. My whole premise right now is that we need the fire. Come on. We need the fire as we pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And just believing God, come on now, for a fresh outpouring of the fire in the Holy Spirit. He is no respecter of person. When you get in hot pursuit, it's like there is fire on the inside of you, and nothing is going to stop you from pursuing and doing what you know that God has called you to do and positioned you to do in this season of your life. Amen. And so I believe this our session here this morning is to challenge you, amen, to challenge the saints of God, challenge your church, challenge your opportunities, challenge your classroom, wherever you are at. Come on now, begin to desire the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our bishop has shifted to the day of the saints. Amen. And preparing the saints, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. And he is shifting from just prophesying to believing for miracles. Come on now. Now, just for me personally, very seldom do I prophesy that I'm not hearing words of knowledge in the prophetic word. And I'm starting to get testimonies back of people being healed or people being delivered just in the process of prophetic ministry. Amen. But putting your faith out for miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. And us breaking through that barrier in this season as the church. It's the fire of God. Amen. We've learned to do things by order or by process, but now we must do them by anointing. Come on now. Lest God go before us on this, we dare not go in. Come on now. I know the presence of God and I know the fire of God. Amen. If I'm going to enter into that place, amen, I want to know that God is going before me. I want to know his presence has gone before me, and I want to know that his order has gone before me. God used fire to bring mass destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah. As you study the scriptures on fire, there is so much that I couldn't share all that today. God used fire to be a protection for Israel, you know, from the Egyptian. God used fire to demonstrate his power upon your life when you give your your life to the Lord. There was something that came over you and something that covered you, amen, that you knew you as being separated out of an old life and into a new life in Christ Jesus. Come on, there's a fire of God upon you. When you don't just witness to people, we don't just pray for people. I believe there's a fire of God present, amen, that is a transforming fire that will transform the life, that will transform the atmosphere, that will bring a kingdom shift. Amen. We might even have to visit going back to the entrances of our cities and mark the highways that enter and exit. Hallelujah. Where I'm at. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Elkhart, Indiana, amen, or the city where you are from, or where different ones are you're from this morning, amen, mark the highways and go ahead, go to that entrance where it says welcome, amen, and just begin to decree the word of the Lord and activate the fire of God, amen. If we really believe in the fire of God, amen, we can begin to be bold in speaking it, amen, and preparing ourselves to both see it, experience it, and demonstrate it, amen. So God used fire as a main torment of hell against rebellion, lawlessness, and resistance to God. Amen. So we see fire in blessing. We see fire in the outpouring of God. We also see the fire of God in judgment when God begins to judge things up on the earth. Amen. Whew. I just like to see men and women on fire. Valerie, when you get on fire of the Holy Spirit, just yet, we do crazy things. Come on. You know, it just seems like God is good at breaking old order. Amen. When his presence, when the power of God, amen, begins to fall upon our sanctuaries, upon our people. Amen. And yeah, you can consider those in hot pursuit like David. David pursued Goliath. I like looking at this for just a second. And I'm not going to stay on any of this too long because you could be there for hours. But I had this interesting thought this morning. You know, when we read the account of David, at the juncture of David in a sheep field, all right, and we have the announcements of we're, you know, Samuel has laid hands on David and has anointed him, amen, for a call of God upon his life. But he goes back to the sheepfield, you know, so he's basically doing the same thing that he was doing, probably bewildered and wondering what meaneth all of this, you know. And, all of his brethren, now we're in war with the Philistines and, you know, they got all this mess going on. And now Jesse is calling David, you know, said, we may need to take some food to your brothers over there. We may need to look after them a little bit. So he's calling David out of his sheep field, all right, and is preparing him with donkeys or whatever was the process, amen, to be able to deliver food to his brothers over in battle with the Philistines. Now, my point is this. The Bible doesn't give us a clear day and time. You know, it could have been hours, or it could have been a few days. However long it took to get David from the sheep field, amen, to load the donkeys and to take food to his brethren, however long that time span was. I'm not sure we have exact clarity on that in the scripture. But however long that was, regardless, it was a short period of time. From the time that his daddy says, listen, your brothers are over in war and they need to have some soup, some food. And so I'm going to trust you and I'm going to send you to take them food. My point is that David went from his sheep field to the battle of the Philistines in a very short period of time. Now I want you to look at what David was doing and now what David is doing. David was in a sheep field and now he is positioned in a battle charging Goliath. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that God is going to do a quick work and there will be a shift. He'll shift you from the nominal thing that you are doing and he'll shift you. All of a sudden you're facing the Goliaths and the giants of the land. Come on now. And you're doing the supernatural. One day it looked like it wasn't possible and you don't know how it's going to happen. And the next day God says, I have need of you over here. And all of a sudden there's a kingdom shift and you find yourself doing what was one time a dream, but now is a fulfillment. Come on now. I'm sure when David was grabbing a lion by the beard, hallelujah, amen, there was probably something in him about a warrior and a warfare and destroying principalities and power. I'm sure it wasn't all about just saving a sheep. I'm sure there was something in him that was very, very adamant in hot pursuit. Come on. Look at somebody and say, suddenly. Yeah, just one day. Here we are here today. It's Terry, Dr. Terry, yeah. Here we are here today. But Terry, God has so much more in store. You know, sometime in our mindset, it can be so far away that we don't really think about it. I'm sure it was out of sight and mind for David, not knowing how anything was going to happen. But listen, there was a hot pursuit in the heart of David that when he arrived with the food for his brethren, amen, there was something rose up in him at that moment. Where is everybody at? Why is everybody hiding? What is this Goliath? What are these words? Come on, greater is Christ that is in you. And a hot pursuit began to arise in the midst of him. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm just saying this is a time I believe God is taking the cap off and he says, I want you to get in hot pursuit of your calling, your anointing, and your vision. Come on now. This is not a time to lay back and wait and see what is going to happen. It is a time to press, amen, and let's believe God for the fire. God, let's believe God for an fresh outpouring of the fire of God. Amen. Joshua pursued at Jericho and at Gibeah. Elijah pursued the prophets of Baal. Come on now. Nobody told him to do that. God didn't tell him to do that. Come on. There was a hot pursuit in him that said enough is enough. And he was going to step in and exercise the manifest power of God. Look at somebody and say, you're full of it. Woo! Come on. You're full of the manifest power, the manifest presence. Come on now. You're full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Sometimes you have to pinch yourself and wake yourself up, amen, to realize I just look like a human being, but really, I'm a bionic man. Come on, greater is Christ that is in me, amen, than my flesh or the conditions of my flesh. God is still greater and God is more powerful. Come on. Elisha, I like this, and Elisha pursued Elijah for a double portion. Get in hot pursuit for pursuing God. God has a double portion anointing for you. He has a double portion favor. Listen, we can settle where we are at or we can say it's enough. Come on. I know that God is a God of more. Come on. Oh, yeah, yeah. Have to drive the same car, go down the same street, go in the same store, be confronted with the negative person. Oh, yeah, all those things are there. But what has changed is you. Come on. You're the fire of God in you overcomes everything that the enemy tries to raise against you. Getting in hot pursuit for the fire of the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants to ignite fire upon the third reformation. Come on now. It's not just a revelation. It's not just an impartation. It's a demonstration of who God is on earth. Come on. The third reformation is about being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word only, but pursuing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. You know, one interesting thing about Jehoshaphat is Jehoshaphat seemed to always pursue the word of the Lord. Is there a prophet? Can we hear God? Does anybody hearing God? Amen. Oh, there's so many scriptures on getting in hot pursuit and pursuing the will of the Father. Amen. But God will use fire to purge you. He'll use fire to destroy your flesh. He'll use fire to inspire you. He'll use fire, amen, to make a way for you. Amen. Removing every obstacle out of your way. Amen. I just want to pray for you, amen, that there be possibly if I could just get a flicker, amen, or a spark out of you today, amen, or a passion or just a desire. God, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I want to demonstrate the fire. I want people to see the fire. I want to see there's something exciting on the inside of me. Come on now. It's something I can't be quiet about. It's something I got to talk about. Something I got to shout about. Come on now. People that I've got to pray for. Come on now. Don't get weary in doing well. Amen. It's like Gideon, his armies faint, yet pursuing. Even though they were tired, even though they were wearied and they were fatigued, yet they pursued their enemies anyway. Now, I believe it's going to take that type of perseverance in this chapter of the kingdom, this chapter of our life. Amen? Just lay your hands on your heart. Father, I just pray for a passion of the fire of God. Lord, ignite your fire. Let it burn hot on the inside of them, Father. God, everything that the enemy has tried to hang on us, everything he's trying to tag us with, everything that he's tried to encumber us with, Father, I take authority over it right now, and I command those weights to leave them, all of those things that have tried to bewitch us as the body of Christ, I command it to subside, get out of the way in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, let the fire of your Holy Spirit, oh, God, begin to be evidenced on the inside of us, oh, God. Let it be seen on the outside of us, oh God, a transforming fire, God, a fire of victory, a fire of joy, a fire of health, a fire of wealth, oh God, a fire, oh Father, oh God, that brings inspiration in all that we meet and all that we know. So Father, just release fresh fire to them. Give them a revelation on your fire. God, you said in Hebrews chapter 12, Lord, that you are an all-consuming fire. God, let the all-consuming fire, God, begin to consume us, oh Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Well, you know, I was really inspired this morning, you know, thinking about that case with David. From the time of the sheep field to the time of facing Goliath was such a short period of time. We talk about suddenlies or something happening quickly. That happens so quick. Amen. I believe God says in these times he'll do a what? A quick work. Come on now. Come on. What was an obstacle now is going to be a ladder. Hallelujah. Amen. There's going to be a way through to the glory that God has for you. Amen. I'm going to pray for Valerie. Amen. Friday night or last night I called her Vicky or sometime. Sunday morning. When was that? Amen, amen. Just stretch your hands over to Vicky in Jesus' name. Vicky, Valerie, hallelujah. Double V, victory, victory. I meant victory, not Vicky, victory. Victory for Valerie. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this daughter of Zion. We just, Father, thank you for your anointing that is upon us, upon our life. Valerie, as I begin to pray for you, let me just tell you what I saw in the Spirit. I saw like a bubble around you. And I hear God say, daughter, I've had you protected and I've had you covered. And had the bubble not been there, the enemy would have tried to overrun you. He'd tried to overthrow you. But God said, I wouldn't let it happen. God said, I've kept you protected. And I hear the Lord say in 2022, God said, I'm bringing you outside of that bubble. And the Lord said, you can stand better than you thought you could. And you can war more than you thought you would. And God said, this is a time of a fresh outpouring and a fresh release of my anointing upon your life. And God said, there are things that I deposited in you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, and God said, and even now, I'm beginning to speak new things to you, says the Lord. And God said, I am igniting a fire on the inside of you, says God. And the Lord said, you have a voice that is going to be heard, and a revelation that is going to be written, and a demonstration that is going to be seen, says the Lord. And God said, there's a reproducing anointing upon your life. And God said, I don't want you to get weary about the way you've come, the things you've done, or the way things have been. God said, it's a new day, daughter. not our old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, says the Lord. And God said, I don't want you to have any regret that you've had to come through the things that you've had to come through. And God said, fix your eyes on me, says the Lord. That's what Joshua told Israel. He said, fix your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Fix your eyes on the anointing. Don't look to the right or to the left. And God says, daughter, I'm bringing you a new way in this season. Now, I just hear fresh downloads of heaven that is going to give you fresh revelation on how to do things differently, says the Lord. And God said, you're going to make an impact, not with just the church, but with the unchurched, says the Lord. Now listen, I'm hearing the word teaching, and somehow you're going to be involved with education. Somehow they're going to begin to draw from you, says the Lord. And God said, I don't want you to shuck it. I don't want you to put it on the side, but I want you to pursue it, says the Lord. And God said, it's going to be an open door to a whole new generation, says the Lord. And God said, this is a new chapter of your life. Who? And God says, daughter, you've not been here before, says the Lord. And when God says, behold, I'll do a new thing, he says, I'm going to do a new thing from top to bottom, from side to side, all around you, says the Lord. And God said, life is going to be new. Vision is going to be new. Relationships are going to be new, says the Lord. And God said, this is the time you're stepping out of that, of the old bubble. You're stepping out of the place of protection, and I'm bringing you to full maturity. Just like David stepped out of the sheepfield, and he stepped right into the war zone. And God said, you're stepping out of where you've been protected. God said, into a time of war. You're prepared. You're ready. You can do more, have more, feel more, and fulfill more than what you even dreamed you could, says the Lord. And God said, I want you to lift your sights higher than you've been willing to look in the past. Now, Valerie, there's a strong prophetic anointing upon your life. I just know that by the Spirit. It's not because I've been familiar with your ministry. As a matter of fact, I've never heard you minister. I haven't even really heard you prophesy. But by the Spirit, I know that there's a strong prophetic anointing upon your life. And I just see a slash there with apostolic. And God's raising up a company of apostolic women, amen, that is going to begin to demonstrate another dimension of the apostolic. And God said, you are called to be a wise master builder, says the Lord. And just hear God say, this is a time of new order, it's a time of refreshing, and it's a time of increase, says the Lord. So Father, I just charge your anointing upon her right now. Oh God, let her see it, let her live it, let her experience it, oh Father God, and let the fire of God be ignited on the inside of her. Oh God, that she'll be radical, oh Father God, and she'll be one that breaks down the walls of the enemy, and she'll be one, God, that will light up your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Jim and elders Jim and Carol. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we just charge your anointing and your refreshing upon them now in Jesus' name. And I hear the Lord say that this is a season, God says, where you're going to see the heavens begin to open. And when the Bible speaks about signs and wonders, I'm being reminded in Argentina, I believe, where there was a city in Argentina where they had a powerful revival outbreak and people were getting saved because they came out of their households and they saw signs written in the heavens. quite interesting. God said, that's the type of supernatural that you're going to experience, says the Lord. And I hear God say that I brought the two of you a long way. And the Lord said, you're not the same man and woman that you were yesterday, says the Lord. And God said, this is the time I'm going to fan into a flame a vision on the inside of you. And God said, you're going to begin to reproduce the anointing that I have upon your life, says the Lord. And God said, I put you together as one. Now, brother, it's like you will steepen in revelation and in theology and all of these things. But God said, I've given her an inspiration, says the Lord. And so God said, there's revelation and then there's inspiration, and it takes the two working together to make a kingdom impact. And God said, I'm going to use the two of you together to make a kingdom impact, says the Lord. Now, here God God said, I'm going to light fires of revival in your children and your children's children, says the Lord. You're going to have so much joy and so much fulfillment just in seeing the glory of God and how God is going to bless your household and bless your children. That doesn't mean they never have challenges. It just means there is no challenge that can ever overtake them, and God's glory will always be seen above and beyond every challenge. Share that word with them. And God said, because this is a time I'm opening a window of heaven because of their faithfulness and because of their obedience and because of their respect, their honor, and their love, says the Lord. And God said, I'm going to multiply that, and I'm going to cause them to be men and women of influence, says the Lord. Now hear God say, there's a higher calling that I'm bringing to the two of you, and I'm asking you to step up another level. And God said, it's not a time I want you to think how to retire, how to cut back, and how to protect this and how to protect that. God says, no, I heard the words of your pastor, and she said, we are totally invested into the vision. And I hear God say, I want you to be totally invested into the vision. I don't know how to tell you to do that, but I'm telling you what, God will reveal it to you, and God will show it to you, and He'll open the door for you, and you'll be at the right place and at the right time, says the Lord. The Bible speaks about those times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord, and I just see the refreshing of I see the refreshing of God just beginning to fall upon you. You know, sometimes we don't understand why thoughts come. Amen. But I just saw you laying in your bed. It wasn't in your chair. It wasn't in the kitchen chair. It was laying upon your bed. There's like healing's going to come to your body laying upon your bed. And God said, son, daughter, at a time you least expect it, God said, I'm releasing miracle after miracle after miracle on the inside of you, says the Lord. So God said, I want you to walk by faith and not by sight. And Ms. Carol, I just hear God say, there is a deep, deep reservoir on the inside of you. And deep calls unto deep. And I'm just hearing this word, and somebody could research it for me. Just because He says deep calls unto deep does not mean it's complicated. It's on the contrary, it's very simple. And God says that, God said, I put a simplicity about you, because out of that simplicity, I can cause effectiveness, says the Lord. And God said, I'm going to cause you to be very effective, and people are going to be able to hear you. People are going to be able to receive you, and they're going to be able to hear the word of the Lord through you, says the Lord. And that deep reservoir of anointing is just going to bubble up, and it's going to pour out of you, says the Lord. I just want to break fear, intimidation off of the two of you, because principalities and powers have tried to intimidate you. But I hear God say, you're breaking beyond all the intimidation. And God said, you're going to see the fire of God upon your life, upon your home, says the Lord. And God said, even upon your family and upon your church family and upon the multiple harvest of souls that I'm going to introduce you to, says the Lord. Father, just charge them right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Jim, somehow I just saw a door. I don't know if it's a university, college, university, high school, but I just saw a door and you being invited to be a spokesman and to pray a prayer and to begin to draw upon your wisdom. Not your wisdom for your tradesmanship of what you've done for years, but they're looking for a deeper reservoir to come out of you. And God said, I'm going to set you up at a time when you least expect it, says the Lord. And you're going to be a voice for me that is going to be public and even in the square, says the Father. Lord, charge and bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good. My brother here with the gray. Oh, it's gray. Maybe it's green. Hallelujah. That's in between. Where? Amen. What's your name? It's important that I hear your name. One more time. Lauren. It was just important that I hear your name, Lauren. It's important that your name be mentioned, because your name is important. And God said, you're important, and you're important to me, says the Lord. And Lauren, I just hear God say, there's more in you than what you knew that you were carrying, says the Lord. And God says that, God said, the glory of the latter will far supersede or be greater than the former, says the Lord. And God said, don't compare where you're at today based on where you've been. I could hear words, like subtle words, like, well, if I'd have done that then, I'd have done this or that. And God said, it's not about what you've done then. It's about what you're going to do now, says the Lord. And God said, there's a now anointing upon you, a now favor upon you, a now opportunity within you, a now anointing to flow through you, says the Lord. And God says, son, I want you to begin to have a passion and a desire to be a spokesman for me, says the Lord. And God said, I want you to desire, like Paul said, to covet, to prophesy, says the Lord. And God said, this will be a time of a fresh release of my anointing bubbling up out of you, says the Lord. And God said, it is time for increase. Now listen, according to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and Luke 1, 17, there is a cry for the Father's heart to be activated. I believe that we're in that chapter, that season right now of fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, where the children are crying out for fathers and fathers are crying out for children. And God said, I'm causing that nurturing heart, that nurturing spirit to be activated in you, says the Lord. And God says, son, if my anointing of the Father is going to flow through you, don't you know I'm healing you of every experience negative of a fathering experience in your own life, says the Lord. And God said, you'll not father out of the old nature, but you'll father out of the nature and the heart of your heavenly Father, says the Lord. And God said, I don't want you to have any fear or be insecure about who you are or about what Lauren can do or the impact that Lauren can make. God said, I've given you a new name written down in glory. Brother, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God said, I want you to be so secure that it is all settled, says the Lord, and you'll not fail, but you will prevail, and you'll set the enemy a sail, says the Lord, and you'll see the glory of God like you have never seen before. And God said, I want you to be bold. I want you to decree it. I want you to believe it, says the Lord. I want you to write it. I want you to speak it, says God. And the Lord said, your eyes will begin to see the favor of God, even upon your household, says the Lord. I'm hearing the word return. You're coming into a season of return where all that the enemy's tried to rob, steal, and kill, I'll bring back even in a greater measure, says the Lord. Father, just bless Lauren right now. Bless him physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, God, relationally, in his household, his family, all that pertains to him, God. And Lord, let him wear the mantle upon his shoulders proudly that you've called him to wear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. This man, a woman of God here. Is it Becky and Mark? Mark and Becky. Amen. Thank you, Father. Just stretch your hands over to Mark and Becky. We just release blessing. And I'm going to come back and just touch your heads just because I feel like the Lord said to do that. Amen. Charovo, gimbravo, zonolomo vishaka. Revo ki talalamo veshim bravo zalalamo vo shambare bandalalabo visa. Let me tell you what I saw when I just touched you. I heard the Lord say that Jericho walls are coming down. Y'all, I know you know the whole account of Samaria and how it got walled in to begin with, how it failed to begin with, and how curse came upon the city, and how doubt and unbelief tried to master over the king, and how all of those things were working in the back scenes of Samaria. It didn't just happen overnight. It was something that was kind of happened. And then we can also see how the word of the Lord then began to be fulfilled, and God broke down the barrier that the enemy had planned against Samaria, and now Samaria is prospering, coming to life again, and now it's beginning to thrive again. But it was all a process in the walls of Jericho coming down. I just hear the Lord say, for the last 30 years, the enemy thought he had built walls around you. And he said, you will never break beyond those perimeters of those walls. Now, I don't know what all those walls are. God's not showing me what all those walls are. But I believe you know what walls are. They're walls of history, the walls of the past, they're walls of theology, they're walls of experience, they're just walls. And I hear God say, this is your time, son and daughter. I'm bringing the walls down, and you're going to walk in a freedom of the Holy Spirit. And I hear God say, you're going to be demonstrators and implementers of the Holy Ghost and fire, says the Lord. And God said, I want you to take a level of faith, a step of faith that you didn't know that you could take. Now listen. listen, sometimes when God says that, I want you to take another step or another level of faith, you can be in fear, one, relationships and about all of these things, that all begins to come into the picture. If I take this step of faith, it'll affect this one, that one, it'll affect that. And God said, I want you to put all of that outside the picture, and I truly want you to walk by faith and not by sight. I want you to hear my voice, respond to my voice, says the Lord. And I hear God say, you're going to be cutting edge ministries in this season of your life, says the Lord. And God said, it's not going to look like the old, and it's not going to sound like the old. Even your theology is going to sound different, says the Lord. But God says the root of your theology will be the same. But God said, there must be a different word. There must be a different sound, because I'm bringing up a whole new culture, says the Lord. It's just like the culture of Israel when the old had died off and the younger had been born and they had a new mentality. It was so new that when Joshua said, we're going over, that the new group said, we are with you and we will go with you. Come on now. And a reset had been set with Israel. What they had rebelled against, the new generation was ready to go in and possess. And God said, I want you to get a vision of the new, says the Lord. And I just feel like God's going to show the two of you how to speak in love to one another. Amen. But helping each other to break out of an old mold and giving each other the right to be yourself and to be who God says that we are now. God said, it is a new day. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, says the Lord. And this is a time of expansion of the vision and an expansion of the dream, says the Lord. And God said, it's going to break you out of an old mold, and it's going to break you out of the box, says the Lord. And the walls are coming down. And God said, you're going to walk in more freedom, walk in more grace. And God said, I'm going to up your pace, says the Lord. And God said, you'll see things happen quicker than what they were happening in the past, says the Lord. And God said, through it all, my joy will strengthen you and empower you, says the Lord. Father, I just charge these two with an apostolic prophetic mantle upon their life. God, they can't think the way they thought in the past. Oh, Lord, Father, oh, God, you're tearing down the old, oh, God, that, Lord, that you can build them a new house, a glorious house, a fulfilling house, a victorious house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God. Wow. Hallelujah. My sister, I can't see your name. I know you, Ina. Yes, thank you. I can't see that far. Amen. Ina, just hear the Lord say that I have you covered. And we've been talking a little bit about mindsets this weekend, a little bit about a reset, a little bit about breaking out of the old. And I hear the Lord say that I've updated you along the way. And God said, I've kept you in that update mode. It's like I got a thing on my phone and it says automatic updates, and it updates things automatically, which is good for me. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's like you're an automatic update. And God said, you're not outdated, you're indated, says the Lord. And God says, in this season, I'm going to cause you to be even more relative than you have been in the past season, says the Lord. Just there's some new things that God is going to be a fan into a flame. It's going to be like a fire on the inside of you. And God said, you're going to shift from teaching to preaching, says the Lord. And God said, the fire of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And God said, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed, says the Lord. And God said, I'm releasing a powerful deliverance anointing upon you. I'm just seeing group deliverance, groups of 50, groups of hundreds, the Lord says, that will experience deliverance, even at the sound of your voice and the sound of your word, says the Lord. And God said, this is a new time of impartation. And God says that I'm settling some things in family. I'm settling some things around you, says the Lord. And God said, I'm getting you ready. The Lord says, not to step back, but to step up even higher, says the Lord. And God said, you're going to have more time. You're going to have more finance. And God said, you're going to have more revelation. And God said, you're going to have more zeal. You're going to have more fire. And God said, you're more ready for today, Ina, than you have ever been, says the Lord. And I hear God say, I am so establishing and so setting the office of the prophet within you, says the Lord. And you can't just walk, the Lord said, with a mentality, the Lord said, of just a gift. God said, I'm calling you to an office, says the Lord. And God said, I'm calling you to a higher calling. And there's just some things that God is going to begin to deal with you, and that is going to reset your image of yourself, that you begin to see yourself the way that God says that you really are, says the Lord. I'm bringing you into total alignment, and I've taken you through a refinement, says the Lord. And God says, now there's going to be new assignments that I'm going to release to you. More grace, more favor, God said, in this place and season of your life than you have ever had before. And I just sense strong in my spirit your husband asking you a question. God's not telling me the question, but I just sense strong God's going to have him ask you a question. And your first thought is going to be, why is he asking me that? And God said, because he's looking for a key to unlock his heart and to unlock his spirit. And God said, I'm going to use you as the key that's going to unlock his heart, says the Lord. And God said, you're going to see a fire, you're going to see a grace upon him that you have not seen before, says the Lord. Now listen, the Bible says, without a vision, without a dream, without a hope, people perish or things fall by the wayside. And God said, I want you full of faith, full of grace, says the Lord, because I'm putting you in a race that you have not been in before. And you're going to have to run so as to win. You're going to have to be bold. You're going to have to be strong, says the Lord. And you're going to have to stand and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. Father, charge Ina right now. Rabba Kita. Lord, this is a new time of kingdom release upon her life. And the fire of God is upon her, Lord. It's in her hands. It's in her spirit. It's in her feet, oh God. And Lord, Father, cause the fire, oh Lord, to be ignited in all those that surround her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. God is good, isn't he? Thank you, Father. Amen. I'm going to pray for Rick and Lori. Is that right? Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. Y'all find record? Okay. Okay, so thank you, God. You guys are going to have to get faster at that, you know. Thank you, Father. Amen. Father, just thank you for your anointing and your grace upon Rick and Lori, Father, in Jesus' name. Listen, I was so inspired when you told me that you retired, because there was a whole different expression on your face, and we can all see there's something different in your spirit. It's like you're set free from something to be set into something, and even though you don't know fully just what it all is, there's an excitement within you. And I just hear the Lord say, keep the excitement, because that's the beginning of the fire, says the Lord. And Rick, there's an anointing of God upon your life, and the Holy Spirit's reminded me of a prophecy that I gave you, and God said, you'll be a teacher and a preacher of the Word of God. And the Lord said, where you have a hard time saying what you want to say now, God says, when the anointing falls upon you, God says that all that I want to say will be said through you, says the Lord. And God said, I'm the one that has blocked you in some areas, because I want you to be a voice for me, says the Lord. And God says, I'm going to put a new inspiration on the inside of you that's going to bring you to a whole new level of dedication, says the Lord. And God said, you'll dedicate your time, you'll dedicate your way, you'll dedicate your day to me, says the Lord. And God said, watch me, son. God said, I'm going to do a supernatural work on the inside of you. There was something in your youth, Rick, that God says, I'm healing you of. And the Lord said, you're not going to be bound to the past or to your childhood or to your young adult years, says the Lord. And God said, this is a new time of freedom of my Holy Spirit. And I'm hearing the word false accusations that the enemy tried to lay against you. And God said, I'm breaking them down, says the Lord. And God says, son, you're walking with a heart of freedom in this season. I don't want you to lose it. I want you to walk by faith, Rick, and not by sight. And God said, you'll see the kingdom light shine bright in your behalf, says the Lord. And I hear God say, you're going to have opportunity to win many, many to the kingdom of God. And the Lord said, I want you to sharpen your testimony and get your testimony ready. Get it written out, says the Lord. And God said, your testimony alone is going to transform lives, says the Lord. And God said, I called you, son and daughter, to be builders of the kingdom. And God says, since your passion in your heart is to see the face of God, God said, you're not not only going to see my face, you're going to see my heart, says the Lord, because I'm putting my heartbeat on the inside of you. And Lori, I hear God say, this is going to be a time of new inspiration and a new writing of music, says the Lord. There's raw songs written for all time. There's songs written for every move of God. And the Lord said, you're right now in a third reformation. I feel like God wants to stretch you in writing songs that are going to relate and be effective with this third reformation that we are in, says the Lord. And God said, I've called you to be forerunners, and I've not called you to walk alone or stand alone, but God said, I'm putting you with the team, says the Lord. And God said, you'll relate with other ministries and even with the ministry here in Elkhart and others, says the Lord. But God says, you're not going to be loners, but you're going to be team players and team workers, says the Lord. And God said, your steps are ordered of me, but I want you to be careful of your step. And just see, what God just showed me was, this could be a teaching, but what God was just showing me, that your steps are ordered of the Lord, but God said, you're going to have to pray over each step, because the enemy will try to mess up the step that God's ordered for you, because the enemy's not happy when you step out of the old and into the new. And so God said, I'm calling the two of you to do a new thing, a new way, for a new day, says the Lord. And I hear God say, I'm releasing my glory upon your household and upon your family, says the Lord. And God said, this is going to be a time of turnaround. And God's literally, I just see his hand reach down, and God is literally turning things around. And God says, the enemy will not be able to stand against, God said, my decision. And God said, those things that I call to be, they will be, says the Lord, just the way that I said that they will be. And so God said, I want you to walk with that faith, and I want you to walk in that light, says the Lord, and I want you to fight the good fight of faith, says the Father. God, just charge Rick and Lori right now with a fresh anointing, a fresh kingdom release, a new peace upon their life, oh Father, a faith, oh God, that is so determined that it's hot pursuit, it's unstoppable, oh God, to fulfill your will and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Amen. We got Brother Terry Kuhn here, Apostle Terry. Thank you, Lord. Terry, let me just tell you what I could see was I was hearing the word tipping point, and I could see weights, you know, like on a scale. And some things are weighing in the balance right now. And I hear the Lord say, just a little longer, just a little longer. And God said, I'm going to tip the scales. And the Lord said, what was hard for you, what was long coming for you, God said, suddenly, son, the scales are tipped. And God said, it's going to work the way that I put the dream in your heart that it would, says the Lord. And God said, I want you to stand fast, stay the course, steady as you go, you're going to grow, says the Lord. And God said, I want you to trust me, son, that I'll have you at the right place at the right time. And I want you to trust me that I'm going to open the right door to you, says the Lord. You know, sometimes we can want a vision to happen to where we kick doors in, you know, and we try to do it. But God says, I want you to be patient. And God said, I want you to wait before me. And God said, every door that you go through will be effective, says the Lord. And God said, there's a fresh understanding, a fresh revelation, even of the apostolic. God said that I'm going to have you do more writing about. And I see you actually, Terry, beginning to write a book in a book form that people can absorb and people can draw from, says the Lord. And just something about what I'm seeing in the Spirit is when you begin to write, as all of a sudden it's going to come. I want to take your word if you don't want it. Hallelujah. Amen. But just it's like when you begin to write, all of a sudden it's going to unveil. It's going to come by inspiration. It's like the Bible says the authors of the Scriptures, they wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there's an inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's going to cause you to write revelation that'll make impact for all time, says the Lord. And God says, son, this is a chapter of your life where we're going to make up for lost time, says the Lord. And God said, there is a joy, there's a cry in your own heart that I'm yet going to fulfill, says the Lord. And so God says, steady as you go. God said, watch me work all things together for good. God said, but watch me put the picture together, says the Lord. And I hear the word call, and God said there's going to be an extended call that I'm going to release upon your life. And you're going to be called to other states. You're going to be called to other places. You're going to be called to some interviews, says the Lord. And God said you're going to be called to speak in some unique situations, says the Lord. Now, Terry, you wouldn't put yourself in any of those places, but God said I would, because God says I see you different, I hear you different, and I know what I put in your heart, says the Lord. See, Bishop Hammond taught us years ago, sometimes you have to get under the spout where the glory comes out. And sometimes, that spout doesn't release until there's enough pressure behind it for it to be able to release. And God says that I'm putting pressure, God said, upon your spout, says the Lord. And God said the glory is going to come out. And God said revelation is going to come out. So just be at peace where you're at. Don't try to be what I say that you are. Just be who you are, and I'll make you to be who I said you are, says the Lord. Father, just charge him right now by the power of your grace and your love. I thank you, O God, for the miracle in his heart, the miracle in his spirit, O God, the miracle in his soul, Father, and the miracle that is going to cause him to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at somebody say, God is so good. Are y'all having fun yet? Let me just release a real quick word to Pastor Cheryl. And I know that we ministered to you, Cheryl, the other night. But I hear the Lord saying to you, is that recording now? In 1 second? At a moment you least expect? You got it? Okay. I just hear the Lord saying to you that this is a time of setup. And it's like God's going to set you up so that what I put in you can flow out of you. And there's some things you wouldn't just do by choice or on your own, or you wouldn't think that you would have the audacity to do that. But God says, I do. And the Lord said, I'm going to set you up that my anointing will be seen, my anointing will be heard, and my power will be demonstrated, says the Lord. And God said, your vision for yourself and my vision for you does not really parallel. God said, my thoughts and my ways are much, much higher than yours, says the Lord. And God said, I'm bringing you up from your insecurity. I'm bringing you up from your fear. I'm bringing you up from all of your hiddenness, says the Lord. And God said, I'm going to cause my limelight to shine upon you. And I just see a new boldness of God just being released in you, says the Lord. And God said, you are called to this work. You are called to this ministry. And you're called to master this anointing, says the Lord. So God said, just walk humbly, walk softly. And God said, when you feel fear, when you feel insecurity, I want you to renounce it, says the Lord, and say, greater is Christ that is in me. Hit your reset every time, says the Lord. And God says, know that I'm the one that has positioned you, I'm the one that has kept you, and I'm the one that is going to fulfill you, says the Lord. Shurabaki. There's something about the river. Dr. Janet, when people come here, there's a connection to the river of God. So they don't just come to the river. Amen. They're connecting to the river of God. The Bible speaks about a river that flows from the throne of God. I think you need to write something about that. Amen. The people will know that when they connect to the river of God, they're connecting to the throne and to the heart of God. Amen. And people that come are going to be transformed and they're going to be changed. And some in a twinkling of an eye, says the Lord. I just see your altars filled with people coming from the streets and coming from. See, it's like right now, seeds are being planted, preparations are being made. It's like the fields are planted, but the harvest is not ready to pick yet. All of you understand that picture. All of a sudden, the harvest is ready, and they begin to bring in the harvest. And when they bring the harvest in, it's like it has to be done suddenly. It has to be done in a time frame. It has to be done at that moment. And God said, the moment of harvest is coming, says the Lord, and it's going to happen quickly. It's not going to be one here, one there, two here, three there. God said, they're going to come by 50s and by 10s and by 100s, says the Lord. And God says, get ready for transformation. Now, I want to step way out in faith because what I'm seeing in the Spirit is I'm seeing the balconies filled. And God said, the building is going to be filled, says the Lord. And there's going to be such a shout, such a worship, such a glory, such a praise, such a warfare that will go out of this place. It'll bring city transformation, says praise the Lord. And so God said, be steady, be patient, says the Lord. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And God said, you're my instrument to fulfill my plan, says the Lord. And my plan is my responsibility. And God says, daughter and son, I honor my word above my name, says the Lord. Father, just charge this house right now. Charge Dr. Janet, oh God. Lord, with a vision, oh God, that is so far beyond her mindset, oh God. Help all of us, oh God, to identify our reset button, Lord, that we will reset in this season, oh God. Lord, determined that we'll not do things the way we did in the past, but it's a new day. Amen. Sylvia, I hear the Lord say, steady as you go. Keep pressing in, says the Lord. And I could just see, as I'm speaking about fire today, just briefly, but I just see the fire of God upon you. And then I'm seeing a tunnel of fire. And in the tunnel of fire, there's going to be powerful deliverance and powerful healing. And I just hear the Lord say, I'm calling you to another level of preparation. Now, that's a hard word, but it's a good word. And it's a fulfilling word. But there's a price that you have to pay. Because I'm really sensing like there's some education and some preparation, which you don't feel totally secure about that. But I hear God say, I give you my security, says the Lord. And Paul said this. He said, the life that I now live, I don't live by my faith, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. My righteousness, his righteousness is my righteousness. And see that, you know, God's ability is your ability. You don't trust in the flesh or in horses and chariots. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. And I might just challenge you in the spirit that you might sit down with your pastor and just talk to her. What would it take for me to be trained, prepared, and fully ready, you know, for deliverance, inner healing, and for the healing of families? And God is going to open doors in communities that, should you not be trained, there will be nobody else to train them. Nobody else to hear them. There is a heart cry that is coming from the inner cities and from the nation and from the nations of the world, crying for healing and nowhere to go and don't know who to go to. But God said, I'm raising up a company, the Lord said, that is going to be prepared and it's going to be ready. I want you to be part of that company. It's just like a challenge of the Holy Spirit. Get yourself ready. God said, your latter years will far supersede your former years, says the Lord. Father, charge and bless her. In Jesus' name, I pray. Okay, I'm going to bring this to a close. You know, is that okay? Okay. Yeah, she says, please. No, she doesn't. She doesn't. I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to say it in a simple way. And I believe God will give you more insight on it. But I feel like I saw something in the Spirit, and I've not shared this with anybody. Maybe a one-on-one with a couple people, but I've not shared it publicly at all. We're in a horrific time of life right now. And if I use the word grief, we had grief in America, but nothing like we have it today. And I really felt in my spirit that there's going to be a need for ministries to be planted that are ready to deal with grief. We've had hundreds of thousands of people buried with no funerals. That means families that had no closure and families that nothing helped them through, nothing helped them through grief. I guess I can only relate to my own mom and daddy. They lost 4 children back in the 40s, late 30s and 40s. And, well, we all know what was happening in those years. It was times of depression, and the word counsel wasn't even a word yet, probably. It might not even have been in Webster's. I don't know. You know, but there was no such thing as counseling or healing, you know, in that manner for that type of grief and that type of pain. And I seen my mother and father carry that grief, carry that pain, even to where it was passed down to all the children that they would bear after that, you know. But it's kind of that way in America and in the nations. There's so much grief out there. There's so much pain out there. And if it's not really dealt with, you know, then that transfers to other areas of outburst and other areas of anger and other areas of setback. And it's really a trick of the enemy to try to destroy coming generations, because it will not only affect those that could not grieve, but it will affect their children and their children's children on generations down. I really feel that there's a coming need. There's going to be waves of harvest, and they're going to come in, but they're going to need a lot of grief healing. They're going to need a lot of counseling. They're going to need a lot of inner healing and a lot of deliverance. Amen. And I believe we'll see corporate levels of deliverance, where God will just do mass deliverance and people will be healed. But they're still going to need that counsel in how to put things into perspective and to walk it through. I don't know that the church world is prepared for all the stuff that we've seen happen in the last year and a half, 2 years. And it's been horrific, and it's still happening, all right? I've done funerals for a couple of our pastors. You know, that normally you would have had hundreds there, and grief would have been shared, and grief would have been born, and all of those things. Amen. But on the contrary, you could only have 40 there, or 50 there, or 30 there, you know, and other people, you know, couldn't. So grief is a deep root. And I really believe the enemy would like to grieve the church. They keep the next generation from growing and coming into all that God has purposed for them. But I also believe that God is going to raise up a company, such as a word just over our sister there, over Dr. Janet, or over the church, amen. God's going to raise up healing centers, amen, that are going to be ready for the overflow and ready to handle that aftermath of all the grief that's upon our nation and upon the land. Is that okay? It says, so I said, I've not shared that any place or with anybody, but it's just something that I saw, and it was like a tidal wave or like a tsunami. All of a sudden, you know what I mean, that pain, all of a sudden that pain rolls up at one time, and all that pain not dealt with turns into anger and turns into other attributes. Amen. I just believe we as a church have got to be ready, amen, for coming warfare. Amen. So, you know, but God has enabled us, He's empowered us, He's given us what we need, amen, but He wants to give a present truth revelation on how to do that, all right? And so I just throw that out to you and just leave that with you. Well, listen, it's an honor to pray for you guys, minister to you, and we've done another cell this meeting in Versailles, amen, and I was online with that one this morning, and we ministered to the ministers there and shared a word with them, and other regional cells are happening, and you guys are part of a great company here, amen. So let's give Dr. Janet Leonard a good hand. Thank you, guys, amen, for your hard work, all that you do, and just making everything available. It's a lot of work because they're not really paid to do this, and but yet we come and we utilize, and we're just so thankful for it. But let's all keep them in prayer. And if God speaks to you about an offering, you know, to sow to them, hear God, sow an offering back here into this cell. Let's make sure that it never suffers, you know, because of lack, okay, and that it's taken care of. So I felt like the Lord spoke to me Sunday, and He said, buy 5 chairs. So I have 3 daughters. Now I have son-in-laws, and I have grandchildren. I have great-grandchildren. But I just heard my daughters, all right? So He said, buy 5 chairs. And just the estimated price of a really nice chair today is about $60.
You know, 57.
Oh, it's pretty close. Okay, so round it off at 60. I like to round numbers off. And so I even do that in my gas tank, you know. I round it up. I'm going to force 20 cents in there. Glory to God. Amen. I I lost some on the ground trying to round off a penny. Glory to God. I like rounding things off. But, you know, that'd be $350, and I'll send you a check. Do you have Cash App, by the way?
No.
Oh, okay. I could transfer it to you that way. But I'll have Donetta send you a check for $350 for chairs. Amen. And what I'm doing is I'm just believing for my children and for my household and for my wife and for her healing. Amen. And I'm also believing for chairs in our sanctuary. And if I help other people get their chairs, God will help me get the chairs that we need for our building. Amen. And so I'm sowing a seed forward. Amen. And you might consider, you know, making an investment. Then I heard the Lord say to give, buy a chair a month. So I'm going to buy a chair right now for the next 12 months. So that'll be 12 more chairs, which will cover my grandchildren. You know what I mean? And God may just have me do that double, you know what I mean, for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Amen. Hallelujah. And by then you'll have all the chairs. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, amen. Just sow a seed thought into your mind, you know, so you can make an investment, you know, into a chair. And I don't want them to put names on it or anything, but when I come in the building, I know that I've got, you know, my family. My family is seated here. My family is represented here. I want to be a part of your vision, you know. We can't buy the vision, but we can sow into the vision. Amen. So just be sensitive to the Father. If God speaks to you about sowing a chair a month or doing something like that, do it. Amen. And buy for your family or buy for your children. So praise God. Look at somebody and say, God's good. If Dr. Janet doesn't come up and get this microphone, I'm going to go into lesson two. You got your own microphone? Okay. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Listen, I hope we get to see you. Some of you down in Versailles in November, we'll be having our annual Thanksgiving. It'll be our final meeting for the year. And just believe God for some release that's going to, amen, launch us into towards the word of the Lord in January. And Bishop Hammond will get to be there with us again in January.
He's coming.
Amen. Yeah, he'll be there, and as well as others. And you might want to just put that on your calendar. It's a time of, I just believe, a launching for our region and for this. You know, we're a 9-state region, so we're reaching out 9 states around us, okay? And I'm really believing God for Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Paul is in Minnesota right now, for Minnesota to really open up to us. I really believe Minnesota is going to open up to us. So we're in Illinois, we're in Wisconsin, I believe we're going up into Minnesota, you know, and maybe even over into Montana, but amen. Be on the first Monday.
Okay, well, I know that's what it usually is.
Yeah.
It's on the first.
Okay, it's on the first Monday. Wherever it gets a number. If it's uno, dos, tres, cinco, cuatro, it's first Monday. All right, Dr. Janet.
All right, let's give the Lord a praise for Apostle Leon. Yeah, let's extend our hands to him. Father, we thank you for all that he has poured out today, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for his servant's heart, Lord. He's a servant of the Most High God. And Lord, we just ask you to pour into him a double portion of what he has poured out, Lord. We pray over his health in the name of Jesus. We thank you for divine health, Lord, that he'll walk in divine health, Lord God, and the complications that he's facing, Lord, in his body. Lord, we speak to them and we say, be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for safe travels home. We thank you for blessing his family, Lord. We just thank you for all that goes on at Inversells with the family and the church, Lord. We just thank you, Father, the model that they are as families in ministry, Father. We just ask you to bless them, Lord, and strengthen each one of them, Lord. And you know the desires of Apostle Leon's hearts. God, I just pray that you fulfill his desire, Lord, and strengthen him and cause the joy of the Lord just to rise up in him, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And thank you for sowing that seed into River of Life and just knowing we have a chair anointing. So your chairs are coming. Yes, come now in Jesus' name. So hallelujah. So maybe by the word of the Lord, you'll have those pews out of there and some chairs in there. No, we're getting chairs like that. And I actually, just so you know, most chair manufacturing companies are 4 to 5 months out. Because I'm going to be meeting with the board because it's time to order them, you know, whether we have all the funds or not. By the time they get here, we'll have it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So by faith. Is that right, elders? By faith. Amen. Amen. So thanks for coming. And you're released to go and shake one another's hands. And I hope you're connecting. Yes. Yes, we're connecting. We're here to take back what the enemy stole from this territory. And so the church rules. They're the ruling instrument in the earth today. And so getting that revelation. Hallelujah. So thanks so much for all that you bring. Yes, God bless you.